time for Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. For the next hour, we'll get the local scores that matter to you and hear from the coaches and players that make it happen. Now, here's your host, Dave Watson.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. On the show today, we'll hear from Scotty Nason. Of course, Scott will join us. He is the voice of the Sioux Eagles over in ESPN 1400. Also has the game, local, regional, and national, the only local, regional, and national sports show in the area over on ESPN 1400 and thegamesportsshow.com. Scotty will join us. We'll delve into all kinds of stuff with Scott coming up. All that this week in high school sports and much more, of course, on the way. But first, there's the band. We had to wake them up. And they are ready to go, and it's time for the Scores That Matter here on Radio Sioux and Coach's Corner. And Sioux High will open up the playoff action today. They'll take on the Saginaw Arthur Hill Lumberjacks. Join yours truly and Pat Bennon for the call from the Van Sitters Field in Sault Ste. Marie on what's a beautiful day for football. Going to be in the 40s, and the sun's out. The sun's glistening in the Van Sitters Field. I already was at the Van Sitters just moments ago before getting ready for the show. Jimmy Casey's there tooling around on the golf cart, getting the field ready and the facilities ready for football today. Kickoff show will come your way 1:35 from the Van Sitters Field here in Sault Ste. Marie. Blue Devils hosting the Saginaw Arthur Hill Lumberjacks here on Radio Sioux, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Elsewhere in Division 4, Ludington wins in dramatic fashion over Bay City John Glenn in Ludington last night. Kind of a ho-hum game for most of the game, 18-15 the final score, as the final 2 minutes was much better than really the whole game, to be honest with you. Bay City John Glenn scored to take the lead in the latter stages in the last 2 minutes of play, and then Ludington came storming back at a defensive battle in the final minute to score a touchdown for the game winner as they win by a score of 18-15. Orioles now with the victory will await today's winner between Saginaw Arthur Hill and Sioux High. And the winner of today's game between the Lumberjacks and the Blue Devils will head to Ludington next Friday or Saturday. Division 3, Cedar Springs throttles Petoskey in playoff action 52-8. Mount Pleasant received a forfeit win over Gaylord. Cedar Springs and Mount Pleasant will meet next. Division 5, Reed City clobbers hapless Sheboygan 44-6 last night in Reed City. The Coyotes will now move on. They'll get the winner of Ogama Heights and Kingsford, who are playing today. Kingsley pounded Standish Sterling 35-18. They get the Hancock-Gladwin winner. Those two play today. Division 8, St. Ignace gets blasted by Bark River Harris 54-10 in the Central UP. Division 6, Grayling has turned it on the last couple of weeks, winning at Ogama Heights last week in the last game of the regular season. To start the playoffs, they thumped Benzie Central. Bit of a surprise of the score here. Thought that one would be much closer. Benzie Central much improved this year. 47-12, the final score. Grayling wins over Benzie Central. Manistee is next for Grayling. The Chippewas drill Kaukaska 62-6. Meanwhile, Nagani gets revenge on Gladstone. What happened to the Braves? 28-14, Gladstone, quite the puzzle, folks. They look so dominant early on. After they beat Sioux High to go 2-0 after the come-from-behind win over Nagani, they didn't win again, and they struggled against Kingsford in a back-and-forth game. They played well in that one, but then Menominee hammered her, and Menominee's not as good as they used to be. Escanaba, with only one game under their belts, nipped them in a tight game in a backyard brawl last week, and now the Miners get them in the revenge game. They lost to them in week number one, or rather week number two. Now Nagani moves on with that win last night for the Miners, as they will get into the second round, and an impressive win there. Meanwhile, it was in action, Glen Lake hammering Elk Rapids 50-6. Boyne City thumped Mason County Central 56-25. Division 7, Mansalona runs past Manistique down in Mansalona 36-12. Division 2, Traverse City Central crushes Saginaw Heritage at Thurlby Field by a score of 60-6. It's a very good Traverse City Central team and in action. Meanwhile, Division 1, 8-man, if I can read, I have dyslexia here, folks. 8-man, Division 1, it was Newberry They are in action today. 2 o'clock kick at Onaway. Winner will go to Pickford next week. Munising is in Indian River, taking on Inland Lakes. And that is at 3. Winner will go to Pelston, who just beat Brimley. Division 2 in 8-man. Engadine is at Powers North Central. Good luck to that one for Engadine. And that one will take place this afternoon. Winner of that one will play the winner of Lakeland and Humble and Crystal Falls Forest Park. Division 4, Alma is hosting Escanaba right now. They kicked off at, I believe it was 11 o'clock down in Alma. Winner will get Cadillac. Vikings received a first-round bye, and that's in the top half of the bracket in the Sioux High District, by the way, in Division 4. Division 1, TC West hosts Grand Rapids Union at Thurlby Field. Ogama Heights, as I mentioned, is at Kingsford today at 2 o'clock Eastern in D5. Division 6, Calumet is hosting Houghton up in the Copper Country. Division 7, Lance is in the Cherry Capital, taking on Traverse City St. Francis at 6 o'clock. Doubleheader action at Thurlby today. And those are the football scores. And on the ice, there is a hockey team playing. Sioux AAA Indians are in action today in the Detroit area, taking on Honeybaked at 5 today and then 11 a.m. tomorrow. And those are the scores that matter from last night and the setup for today for the playoffs as well. And when we return here on Coach's Corner, we have Scott Nason joining us, and that's coming up next. Stick and stay on Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO.
The challenges we face today are too big to tackle just as
And now back to Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
And welcome back here on Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Dave Watson, and our guest today, and he saved me from the ashes as I was having a hard time finding guests. Apparently no one wants to come on anymore. I thought I sprayed deodorant and took a shower, but apparently no one wants to come on. I tried several different entities, but Scotty is busy. He has all kinds of things going on today, but he, of course, joins us here, and I appreciate it saving me. And of course, we have football coming up, so we have all kinds of moving parts, but Scotty, thanks for joining us here in the corner.
Well, I appreciate the invite, Dave. I always like being on your show, and if you're ever in need for a guest, just you know where to find me, and always ready to talk local sports and whatever the heck else we talk about today.
And likewise as well on your show, as I have a lot of fun on that on Mondays, 6 to 8. We'll talk more about that in the game over on ESPN 1400, but we welcome Scotty back here to Coach's Corner, and of course Scotty hosts the game over on ESPN 1400, a national, regional, and local sports show, the only one really that delves into that, and we do a little bit, but not as much as Scott does, and we'll talk more about Scott's show coming up, but he's the host of that show, the voice of the Sioux Eagles when the Eagles do play, of course, all the hovered around COVID-19 and everything going on, but first of all, Scott, we'll talk about high school football and your impressions of what you've seen from the area teams and, I guess, teams of interest here in the last 2 days. A lot of 8-man games the other night. Pretty much what we thought would happen, I would believe. Cedarville taking care of Kearney. Pelston taking care of Brimley. Brimley hung with them as long as they could, and Rudyard probably should have beat Rapid River, but not a surprise that the Rockets move on there. And, of course, pretty much I think what we thought would be the case.
Yeah, I think form held on Thursday and Friday as far as eight-player football, and, you know, just glad these teams are playing. You know, we've seen cancellations. We're going to see more cancellations with COVID-19. So just really thankful that we were just able to have a season. And we knew it was going to be different and there were going to be some obstacles. And there still will be obstacles as we move along. But, you know, Cedarville, the team that won, you know, no surprise there. I mean, they have a solid team, just losing to Pickford, I believe, this season. Brimley, Coach Tom McKee's done a good job with that program to get them, you know, a couple wins this year and into the playoffs. I believe that was Pelson's first playoff win in eight-player football. And, yeah, Rudyard, you know, that game was close. Tough to go on the road in Rapid River. But, again, another good program. They're just trying to maybe take that next step. And then we're going to see what happens with Pickford. Will they ever play again? I mean, they haven't played for 3 weeks. They get the forfeit win against Stevenson. So we'll see who they play next week. But, boy, they got to be itching to get back on the field trying to defend that state championship and, you know, get the rust out because it's been a long time since they've played.
We'll talk about them in a moment. But Rudyard, I listened to that game, and Jack Hall was covering it for News Talk 600, our pal from the Radio Results Network.
He does a great job, doesn't
he? Jack hit it on the head. Rudyard had a 10-point lead. He said, that means nothing in eight-man football.
No, not at all.
And Rapid River came back, win the game in the waning seconds, but Jimmy Suggett's team put forth a really good effort and nearly pulled off the upset. And like you said, Brimley did a nice job down in Pelston, and you know, Tommy McKee and Derek Bisaw, the coaches of Brimley, do an outstanding job. They were with them a few years ago, and then they stepped away, and then you had Lester Livermore in there last year. Lester did a nice job, and then Tommy comes back with Derek this year and picked up where they left off and where Lester left it, where Lester left the program in pretty good hands. But Brimley put forth a nice effort, too, the other night. Speaking of Pickford and the Panthers, when they take the field, Scott, and we hope they do next week, against the winner of the Newberry-Onaway game, those two will play today. The Panthers take the field. It will be nearly a month since they have played. A 56-0 win over Engadine is their last game back on October 9th.
Yeah.
They had a COVID situation. Then Brimley had a COVID situation. Stevenson, their first opponent today or this weekend in the playoffs, they had a COVID. Of course, Western UP right now is ravaged by COVID. And so they forfeited, as many teams in the Western UP ended up forfeiting. And I just saw Roger City forfeited.
Yep.
They were supposed to go up to Iron Mountain.
Correct.
Iron Mountain was holding out because they got a good team. And they and there's an I guess a TV 9 and 10 said last night there's a state of a state of COVID emergency up in Dickinson County. So Roger City's like, thanks, but no thanks. We're not going.
Yeah, and these are the things, you know, that we're going to see and we're going to continue to see,
yep.
You know, once we get into the winter sports season, and a lot of challenges there. And the unfortunate thing for Pickford is I believe Onaway wins. That game's in Onaway because of playoff points, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, no fault of Pickford's, but again,
right.
That's the season. We knew it was going to be unpredictable and, you know, at times not fair to the teams, but, you know, again, we're trying to get through this pandemic and things are not good in many areas. We're seeing increased cases here, so just got to, you know, just try to navigate through it,
yep.
and pivot, as you say,
yep.
Because that's really all we can do right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and, you know, it is what it is, and we knew that this year would be trying and just keep on trudging forward. And like I mentioned during the Sheboygan drubbing, Sioux High gave him 60-0 to Pat Bennett.
A little time to kill in the second half, right?
Well, in the second half to try second quarter, Scotty.
Right.
We covered the gambit. I mean, I think we're talking, of course, your Alabama Crimson Tide and Nick Saban.
Yes, sir.
Is he going to coach from the couch or for the sideline?
Yep.
Of course, he coached, and we covered everything in that game. But the one thing I mentioned to Pat, I said, what happens when you have one of these perennial powerhouses throughout the state, whoever it is that really is eyeing that championship, I say, going to Ford Field, but they still haven't announced.
They haven't. That's surprising.
And I'm wondering where it's going to end up being.
Well, when we had Mark Yule on the game about 3 weeks ago, I know you had him on here as well, he said they were close to making an announcement, and he literally teased that it was going to be Ford Field. So somewhere between 3 weeks ago and now things have changed. And,
right.
And again, we've seen cases rise, and maybe that's it. I know Ford Field is having about 500 fans for the Lions game tomorrow, family and friends. And so, yeah, it's and the eight-player football is even more question mark. But, you know, they may have to have it at, I know he mentioned on the show, you know, a Petoskey or somebody that has a decent field, because the Upper Dome's closed because Northern Michigan will be off. And so
right.
That wasn't an option. So, yeah, surprised they haven't announced anything yet. I guess they're still trying to figure it out.
I'm wondering if, and of course, you know, you look at our weather, but and it's always trying when they want. And I believe the championships are the first week in December.
Correct.
Now. And I'm wondering if they're thinking, and their thinking is we got to go open air. Because do you really want to go into an enclosed facility? And that's what I'm wondering what's going on. Whether you have it at Spartan Stadium or Michigan Stadium, I don't think you'd have it in Lansing. They are really ravaged by it. But I think they're one of these big high school stadiums. You know, Ohio has theirs at, I believe it's in Massillon, at Paul Brown Stadium, where Paul Brown got his start.
Right.
and they've always had it there. So, you know, they got some decisions to make. And the fact that you said that he's teased to have it, that it's coming, and then it's not coming, tells me that they're still having some discussions.
Yeah, here. I almost think it has to be outdoors at this point, you know, especially, you know, 3 weeks ago was a lot different than it is now, and we're seeing it, you know, all across the state and all across the nation. So open air, you know, maybe you go to Central, although Central's had problems. Maybe you go to Ypsilanti. Again, it's hard to figure out what's going to happen, you know, a month and a half from now. It's hard to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow with the way this pandemic is gone.
Well, and, you know, this whole thing could be shut down like you and I talked about back in March. It's kind of funny. Here we are back again. We're talking on the show about this stuff, and it's surging like it is, but it's a different, I think it's a different view now because we know something about this disease. We have the testing, and I think that's a big part of why, you know, I don't panic when I see all the cases. I want to see the death rate.
Yeah,
because the cases, because I think it has to do a lot with the fact that we got a lot more testing than we didn't have any back when we talked in March.
Right.
But you know, that we shall see how that goes. But Sioux High trudges forward, and today they take on Saginaw Arthur Hill and the Lumberjacks, 1-5. And really, they don't play any cream puff, Scotty. Arthur Hill has a very good quarterback in Zamarin Foster. He had over 300 yards through the air last week, ran the ball well against their arch rival Saginaw High, their only win. They lost to Davison, who's a state champion, the Lapeer they play. So they don't play cupcakes, and they're very fast. They get on the edge. They spread the field, play shotgun formation, very similar to Marquette. So really an intriguing matchup here today for Sioux High.
It is going to be very exciting at Van Sitter's Field today. And, you know, Sioux High has a lot of advantages because most of these players have been here before, you know, last year. Obviously a little bit different situation as far as weather. I think maybe Coach Menard might want to see some snowflakes or something. Who knows? But
a monsoon?
Yeah, a monsoon or something like that. But, you know, Sioux High's had a great season. You know, coming off a big victory over Sheboygan, obviously Sheboygan a little bit down, but, you know, they have some weapons offensively. Turnovers, obviously, in any football game are going to be key. And in this one, you know, it's an unknown because, you know, you haven't played Saginaw, you haven't seen them. Maybe you've seen them on tape, and it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a close game throughout, but what do I know? I haven't seen Saginaw, so it's going to be exciting. But again, I like the fact that Sioux High has players. They've been here. They were here last year. They had success last year, and I would expect they have success today too.
One area that I think where the Devils really have an edge on Arthur Hill from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is depth.
Yes.
Arthur Hill has a really good quarterback. We mentioned Zamarin Foster. They have a very good target for him and receiver he likes to hook up with, Jordan Pierce. Good linebacker, Nehemi Jones, who's heading up to Finlandia next year. But after that, there's not a lot of depth. And I'm going to be interested to see what their line play looks like because, you know, of course, Sioux High's had really good line play this year on the offensive and defensive side, and the Devils have depth. So that I think depth could play a key here today. It's you know, the one area Sioux High struggles is against teams that are fast and have good skill, and they are susceptible to the deep ball in years past. This year, I think the pass defense is better, but it's just going to be very interesting to see how they respond. And you look at the region, Scott, it's wide open.
It is.
I mean, you know, I watched that game. I sent you the stuff on the Oriole Network, Sports Network there. They have the video. So I watched the game, Ludington and Bay City, John Glenn. And that wasn't a very good game. I mean, it was a defensive battle. Defenses look good, but Ludington's quarterback is iffy, and John Glenn should have had him. And so that's a toss-up there. Cadillac sits and waits for the winner of Escanaba-Alma. That game's going on right now. I think Escanaba's very dangerous. They've only played a couple games. They have a lot of talent. They got a chip on their shoulder because they weren't allowed to play for a long time. They didn't really understand why. There was a lot of political controversy over there. So now they're out to prove some points. And so they're playing Alma, so it's a flip of coin.
It really is. There's really no overwhelming favorite, I think, in this district. You know, Cadillac, the top seed, but, you know, they could take on a very good Escanaba team. I think Escanaba's going to win that game. You know, Ludington maybe didn't overwhelm anybody yesterday. Sioux High would, if seeds hold, I believe, would go to Ludington, correct,
yes,
Dave, if they do win today. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think you got four teams that can easily win this district. And so, hey, you want it that way. You want it kind of wide open. You don't want an overwhelming favorite. And so I think Sioux High has as good a chance as anyone.
I think Arthur Hill and Sioux High were cheering for John Glenn last night, because if you're Arthur Hill, that's a quick trip down the road to Bay City.
Yep.
And if you're Sioux High, they have to come to you in John Glenn. Now, of course, whoever wins this game today will be traveling over to Ludington. But that's what's pretty much going on high school football. When we return here on Coach's Corner, we'll ask Scotty, of course, about what's going on in the rest of the sports world, and we'll discuss that coming up. This is Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO.
This is Mark Sinangelo, Operations Manager at Sovereign Communications. I've taken over the 1230 W.
And now back to Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
And we're back on Coach's Corner at 11:29 here on the corner. We continue with Scotty Nason, of course, over on ESPN 1400, Sioux Eagles play-by-play guy, the voice of Sioux Eagles on for the Sioux Eagles, and of course on the streaming site that the Eagles are on, and as well here on ESPN 1400 for all the home games when they do play, and when he's allowed to go up there, I guess is the case at the Puller Stadium, also the host of the game over on ESPN 1400 as well, and of course that's on Monday 6 to 8 p.m. And Scotty, you look at things right now, and we'll turn our attention to some other sports, of course. And Michigan High School Athletic Association announced a winter sports on track. And you alluded to that earlier here as we were chatting. And the start of tryouts are commencing soon.
Yeah.
Hockey and then basketball and so on. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's like anything. You got to have a plan to, you know, play, and the Michigan High School Athletic Association has done that, much like with football, which, you know, it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be cases and closures and forfeits and such, but, you know, I think it on paper it looks good. You know, different that it's indoors, though, and that's, yeah. I think, the big key with this one is, you know, how are you going to social distance in wrestling? It's not going to happen. And so I think wrestling is probably the one that has
even
the
basketball,
most
full court presses and
basketball. I mean, you know, teams are going to have to learn to play with face masks. It appears. And I don't think that's going to go away right now. So, you know, again, fingers crossed. Let's hope that everything works out. But, you know, I know these kids are dying to get on the court. I have a son that's dying to get on the court as well as a ninth grader here at Sioux High. And so, you know, I think the MHSA has a good plan. But again, you may have to amend that plan several times.
Yeah, there's going to be some pitfalls. We know that. And like you said, things are a lot different now than even when they announced it a week ago. And we'll see. And, of course, tryouts are starting. I think Sioux High is starting this week for hockey, I believe.
Yeah.
And so then basketball will be coming up here the middle of the month for girls and boys as well. WCHA and Lake State Hockey announced, Laker Hockey announced their schedule in the Of course, the league will have just non-league games within the league, about six of them, I believe, and then 18-game regular season. And their start time looks to be right now, I think, November 21st, Michigan Tech at home.
Correct.
On a Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
At the Able Arena. And that was pretty much what Damon Witten, and when we had Commissioner Bill Robertson on, said the same thing. They're hoping right before Thanksgiving. So that's their plan, and it's nice to see that Laker hockey is looming here soon.
Yeah, Laker hockey, you know, they've been very successful not having any COVID cases in the program. They've been on the ice for a while practicing. You know, still lots of questions. Question marks as far as how many fans can be in there. You know, I heard somewhere it's 20% possibly of capacity, but again, this is still a fluid situation,
right.
so we don't know what's going to happen. But I think WCHA, you know, has put out a good plan. Obviously, you know, they're trying to limit travel as much as they can, which is tough in that league because you have teams in Alaska and Alabama for this season, and then of course Lake Superior State moves to the CCHA. But Let's just hope that the games can get played, you know, and, you know, Lakers, you know, have a decent team coming back. I know Coach Witten, heard him on your show, very excited to get back on the ice, as everybody is. Again, we're hopeful, and hopefully things work out, but still got a little ways to go before we get to November.
Yeah, and you look at the Lakers, and when I had Damon on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the team once, right after you get past talking about the COVID stuff, and you know, I look at it, and I think they have a chance to make some noise this year. They have a similar team to 2 years ago when they had veteran leadership and a core group of guys, and they got a lot of guys back, you know, that were upperclassmen, and I think they could make some noise this year, especially when you got a shortened season type of thing. So if you get off on a hot hand right away, they have a tough schedule. I mean, starting off with Tech is not easy, and of course I think they get Northern too early on, but you know, they have a good opportunity here. I think, you know, with the team that they have coming back, and of course a solid veteran goaltending.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a wide open league this year. Obviously Minnesota State's always the favorite in the league. Once they get to the NCAA tournament, not so much, as they can't seem to get the job done in the tournament. But yeah, I think the Lakers, you know, they got a lot of returning players, lots of experience back on defense. Goaltending, obviously, a key. You know, Coach Witten, was this his sixth season already at Lake State? And so, you know, he's gotten his players in to buy into his system. And certainly, I want to be at Taffy Able Arena. I want to be listening to Bill Crawford on Yes FM and doing the games. And let's hope that, you know, things stay okay. And I guess that's the best way I can put it. Things stay okay so we can see Laker hockey.
I want to be able to hear out of town. Robert Morris leads Canisius 3-2. That is final. Pat O'Neill tells us it's final. Out of town scores. Sparse crowd here at the Able Arena. That's because of COVID. Oh, I can't use that anymore, I guess. What's going on? There's a play going. Oh, no, that was canceled too. Well, I have no more excuses. Back to the game.
You can tell you and I have listened to a lot of Bill Crawford over the years.
And we all do it all in love. And Billy knows.
Absolutely.
And Billy knows it too, at least. We think he does. And you mentioned, you know, you and I were talking off the air, and Ontario Hockey League has a plan, and well, I guess it's a plan, and they're starting now. They pushed it back. They were hoping for December, now February, and they have a tricky situation with the, you know, because they're dealing with the border.
Yeah,
they have teams in the United States and things of that nature of Flint and Saginaw, so they have to, you know, and borders closed right now, and now yeah, they have a lot of government oversight in Canada with their sports, a lot more than we see in the United States and maybe in, you know, other countries. You follow a lot of soccer. I'm not sure how it is over there, but, you know, you have a sports minister, and they're in, you know, and Lisa McLeod is their name, and she came out the other day and once again reiterated no body contact. Kind of hard for hockey. It's going to look very different.
Yeah, very interesting situation going on in Ontario, and it's almost like two different worlds. I mean, how things are here and how things are there are night and day. And I'm a person that I feel like we just need to meet in the middle somehow. I mean, in every aspect of life right now, because everything's so polarized, and you know, Canada's obviously taking a much stricter approach to COVID, but again, it's different in portions of Canada. I know the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, they started, they shut down. I think they started back up, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend. The Western Hockey League, I believe, is going to start in December. And so the OHL is taking a different approach, and where it gets really sticky is with the American teams, much like the Sioux Eagles and the NLJHL. I haven't heard any word on the NLJHL's return to play. Last report was December, but with the OHL moving it to February. But again, Northern Ontario is much different than Toronto and those areas who have a much higher case rate. And so, you know, with the no contact, Dave, you know, obviously I'm an old school kind of hockey guy, and you take contact. It's one thing to take fighting out of hockey. Maybe I understand that to a certain level, but when the puck goes in the corner, what's that player going to do? I mean, he's going to have to just stand there. I mean, and do fans want to watch this? Personally, I don't. Do I want to see hockey? Yes. Do I want to see this kind of hockey? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. And the other thing I noticed, and I'm glad you brought up, you talk about, you mentioned Northern Ontario, and it quickly got me to seeing this. Did you see where they said their plan is, this is the Canadian Junior Hockey League, has the overall oversight of all these leagues, that the Memorial Cup would be in June and possibly in Sault Ste. Marie.
Sault Ste. Marie or Oshawa. Yeah, they're still determining who's going to host that. I know the Memorial Gardens has done a lot of upgrades with the new scoreboard and lighting and such. And so that, can you imagine a Memorial Cup in June in Sioux, Ontario? Certainly, I mean, if we could get over there, which doesn't look likely right now as far as the border. But yeah, they're down to two. The Hounds have put in a strong bid. Oshawa's put in a strong bid. And, you know, maybe Sioux might get a better shot at the Memorial Cup because of Oshawa being around Toronto, mm-hmm. might have more cases. So maybe the Sioux, I mean, they have cases, but not quite like, you know, the U.S. or Southern Ontario. So that could be something in the Hounds' favor.
Could make them, you know, and of course we wouldn't like this because this would mean we wouldn't be able to go probably. Kind of a bubble situation over there at the gardens, potentially, you know, who knows. But we hope that we're in a better situation in June. But we also said that in April. We hope we're in a better situation in November. And here we are.
And Dave, I love the Memorial Cup. And I remember the last time that the Memorial Cup was in Sioux, Ontario, 1993. I got to attend a couple games over there when the Hounds beat Peterborough. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that city just went crazy. And
Chris Pronger.
Yeah, Chris Pronger and group. That's just such good hockey. But again, are we going to have body contact? I mean, it's going to be different hockey. It appears, in at least in the Ontario Hockey League. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this all shakes out.
It will be, and they have been mum on the word. You know, I had a feeling, because I tried to get the OHL on for the show this week, and I was listening to you and Dave McCaig talk, and listening to Dave, and of course, he's very, you know, he's kind of your insider over there, yep. I would imagine, for all this, and he basically, I got the impression from Dave listening to him on your show on Monday that, well, you know, they're really not saying anything. And I'm like, oh, that's not a good sign to try to get him on Saturday. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I've reached out to him as well, and I haven't heard back from the NOJHL. And I understand, maybe they just have nothing to say.
And I think a lot of it has to do with because, you know, the MHSA and the WCHA and our leagues in the United States have been, you know, open. Yeah, we'll come on and they talk about it. I think, you know, perhaps with the more government oversight, they don't want to, you know, tick off Ottawa. I just kind of wonder if that's playing a role. And I don't blame them if that is the case.
And but being the fact that we're in the United States and potentially you're going to have three teams in the OHL not participating, you know, in Erie and Saginaw and Flint, you know, that could be another thing where it's just like, you know, we don't really want to talk about it right now because we don't know what to do with these teams. How do they get over?
No, it's a mess. Yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with cross-border stuff, it's a mess. And pivoting to regional and national sports, Tigers have a new manager, A.J. Hinch. Get your trash cans ready.
Get your trash cans ready. Get your recording devices available. A.J. Hinch announced yesterday, manager of the Detroit Tigers. A bit of a surprise, but like you and I were talking off the air, Dave, when Tony La Russa, 76 years old, going to Chicago, that really opened up the door. General manager Al Avila wasted no time after the World Series calling Hinch, 15 minutes after?
Yep.
And, you know, this is a proven guy. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Is it something to condemn him his whole life? I'm not so sure on that, you know. And again, it doesn't matter. I want somebody that comes in and turns around the Tigers. I want a contending baseball team. And if it's Hinch, then I hope it works out. If it doesn't, then I hope they find someone else.
My wife and I, of course, diehard Tiger fans like you, and her and I go to a ton of games when we're allowed to. And she had the best line today because I mentioned, hey, did you see Justin Verlander send him a text? Send him a text, hey, you know, you'll love Detroit and all this other stuff. And now Tiger fans who just love Verlander, oh, Justin Verlander. And my wife quickly points out, you know, he had knowledge too.
Yeah.
And he admitted it. And, you know, what's that different, you know, other than the fact Hinch is the manager? So, you know, that makes Verlander just as, culpable here in this situation, whether you like it or not. But, you know, people, you know, they're not going to admit that. But she quickly points that out to Tiger fans online, say, you know what? Here's the deal. Your beloved Justin Verlander, and the people are thinking, ooh, he can come back now because him and Hinch have this, you know, bond and they get along so well. But, you know, I'm like you. I want a winner. And my thing is I believe in second chances. And the fact that he admits it and he said, listen, he said, this is my problem, not the Tigers' problem. And he said, I should have said something. You know, he tried to do it in his own way by smashing the monitors that they were using, but that didn't, you know, really do anything. But, you know, it was a case of he just didn't say anything, and that ain't right either. But, hey, he was suspended for a year.
Yeah.
So he got his punishment.
He paid his crime.
But, you know, people are going to do. But the thing is I laugh at some of my friends out there. People call it, oh, yeah, now the Tigers are cheaters. And my thought is, hey, if your team is looking for a manager, he was the best option out there. And the Tigers just went out and got him before anybody else. And also, I also point out Cora in Boston. he is not going to be unemployed for very long. No. And he was, you know, right involved in that situation as well with the Red Sox, and he was, you know, all that going on with them. And Carlos Beltran lost his job with the Mets. You know, Cora's going to get a job. I mean, because he's, you know, that's his bottom line. They're going to say the same thing about him probably, but it's, you know, it's just, it is what it is. But I believe in second chances, and look what the guy did in Houston with all that young talent, and you got to say the same thing with the Tigers.
And that's what I was going to say, Dave, is, you know, there's a lot of young talent, especially pitching talent on that Detroit team. And, you know, going back to the Houston Astros situation, like you said, it wasn't just a manager or a coach. There are others involved, and I'm sure there's other teams that have done it, and who knows, maybe they're continuing to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't something that just the Astros did. They just got caught.
And
that's the thing. And, you know, me being a Detroit sports fan, all four teams I, you know, follow, it's pretty dark days in the Detroit sports family. You're seeing a little bit of light with the Lions. I'm a little suspect on that. But I think the Tigers, of all the teams right now in Detroit, probably have the best chance to make a move, and this certainly bumps them up a level, at least as far as managerial talent.
Mentioned the Lions still in the hunt, 3-3, made a big trade this week.
Yeah.
Well, got a pass rusher from the Cowboys.
They certainly need one.
Former Viking and Griffin. And, you know, they're puzzling, though, because they'll go do that like 2 years ago. Lions went out and got Snacks Harrison. I thought, you know, get some interior line help. That's a good move. But then you go trade away Golden Tate, and there's all kinds of young and the restless drama going on. Patricia's quite interesting character and how he can't get along with people. But, you know, the man has nine lives. And I think all those cats are in his beard or something. But, you know, he's still going. And right now, they're in the hunt.
You know, Dave, it's tough being a Browns fan. It's tough being a Lions fan, too. And, you know, you go back a couple weeks ago when they were in Jacksonville, there were reports that if they lost that game, Patricia's out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't buy into that too much. I don't think the Fords do that very much. Sheila Ford Hamp, you know, at the end of last season, made the comment that we have to not necessarily have a playoff team, but be in contention. And, you know, you look at this team, and as a Lions fan, do I want them to win? Yes. But, you know, I look at these young quarterbacks that we're seeing, Herbert, and you're going to see Tua play on Sunday, and all these guys, and they just haven't drafted one. I'm not a big Stafford fan. I understand that he's a good quarterback, but I just think they need to take a different direction at some point and get one of these young guys. And there's a couple certainly that are coming up here. Mm-hmm. Looks like the Jets and Giants might have the best chance at them, but we'll see what happens against Indianapolis on Sunday. I mean, that's a game the Lions can win. You know, Indianapolis isn't the greatest team, but they're kind of
up and down.
And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Lions. It reminds me of the Lion and the Godfather. Every time I'm out, they pull me back in. I think I'm done with them. And then they win a couple games. You get all excited. So the Lions are always comic relief on my show Monday because it's right after the game. And I expect we'll probably have more tomorrow on Monday night.
You need an elite quarterback. I'm worried about in Cleveland now because Mayfield, I'm still not convinced of. But you need that elite quarterback to be able to win at that level. That's just the bottom line. And hopefully the Lions and the Browns will figure it out one of these years.
Are 5-2, though.
Yeah, they are, and you know what? I didn't really shed any tears when Odell Beckham went out because, you know, they look better when he's not there because they're not focusing
on
him.
Five touchdowns last week.
Rashard Higgins, he's a forgotten man until Beckham's not there, and then he catches his second touchdown, you know, from Mayfield and then of the year, and then he makes a big impact, and then the tight ends as well. So, yeah, the Browns and the Lions, they're like the twins, and I think, if anything, if there is a God, that when they do go to the Super Bowl, they beat each other because they make the same follies.
They certainly do
year after year, you know. And of course Scotty had the Red Wings head coach, and Jeff Blashill, of course, a Sioux Michigan guy for many years, graduated from Sioux High. He had Jeff Blashill on a few weeks ago, and how was that? And had it been pretty cool having Jeff on. It was a great interview. And the Red Wings this year, what's your thoughts on what him and Steve Yzerman have in store once they get going?
Well, I love having Steve Yzerman as GM. Obviously, one of my favorite players, but all you have to do is look at what he did in Tampa, mm-hmm. and they won a Stanley Cup this year. And again, lots of young talent, you know, and they've made a lot of good free agent acquisitions, you know, getting some, you know, like Bobby Ryan and all these other guys. And, you know, again, I think maybe they're the other team in Detroit that could make a move. You know, I think this year is a big year for the Wings to get in the playoffs, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, Jeff Blatman, this is his sixth season. Can you believe that? It's his sixth season already.
Isn't that amazing?
And, you know, general manager Steve Yzerman has given him a lot of confidence as far as his job performance, but I really think this is a big year for his job and for the Wings to, you know, just get in the playoffs again. I think that would be a huge step.
What's coming up on the game on ESPN 1400 on Monday, 6 to 8 p.m.? What do you have in store?
Well, we're going to have Dave McKeag on again. He can't join us in studio, so we have him on to talk about. We'll talk about the Ontario Hockey League and what's going on in the NLJHL and all things Sioux Ontario. And last week, there were a couple young broadcasters from Rudyard, a couple seventh graders.
They're coming for our jobs, Scotty.
Well, I'll tell you what. They do the Rudyard Bulldogs football and, I believe, volleyball games. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be doing basketball games. And so I reached out to their athletic director, John Krenz, and I said, you know what? I'd love to have these guys come on the show. So they're both going to call in on Monday to talk about their broadcast experience. And if you had a chance to watch it, it was fantastic. It's nice. I guess one good thing out of this pandemic is that more schools are allowing for broadcasts of games for fans that can't get there. And these guys did a great job, so I can't wait to talk to them. They'll have Butch Davis on, and you know Butch, he'll probably be a little surly about the Lions and Detroit sports. We'll talk to him. And then EJ Russell joining us in the second hour for the roundtable.
I'm looking forward to Butch's take on AJ Hinch. I'll be listening for that.
Very interested in it myself.
You mentioned those two fellows from Rudyard. They were on 9 and 10 last night.
Oh, were they?
Sports overtime.
That's fantastic.
Two old blonde kids. They're hilarious. And they were saying about the Mud Pit game that made the national, of course, it was on Oatkick and all these
Barstool sites.
And, you made the reference to me. The funniest part of the audio was hearing the Pocket Rocket, Matt Pocket in the background. That was, once you pointed that out, I had tears in my eyes.
Oh.
But these kids, you know, did such a good job. And they had me laughing last night because they were talking about how do you figure out the players. They said, well, we know these Rudyard kids.
Right.
We know call them Rudyard kids. These players are older than them. And then they said, you know, Cedarville were able to figure it out after a while, you know, and it showed, and it's like they did a lot better than I think I could have because, you know, they had mud head to toe, those players. But, no, we're looking forward to listening to them with you. It should be a lot of fun. And, of course, the game is 6 to 8 p.m. on Monday night over on ESPN 1400. Scotty, thanks for bailing me out here today. I know you have a lot going on, but I appreciate it for coming on and talking sports with us.
Always fun, Dave. Thanks for having me on, and have a great broadcast of this afternoon, and go Sioux High.
Go Sioux High. Thank you very much. Scott Nason, of course, our friend and colleague here at Sovereign Communications, and you hear him over on ESPN 1400 regularly, especially on Monday nights. We'll be back with more Coach's Corner in a moment. Here on 1230 WSOO. Time to close up shop on this week's Coach's Corner. I'd like to thank Scott Nason for joining us. And a reminder, you can catch Scotty over on ESPN 1400 with, of course, the game. And that is 6 to 8 p.m., a local, regional, national sports show on Monday night. And Scott will have all kinds of good stuff for you on the game and also on thegamesportsshow.com. It will be on ESPN 1400 coming up on Monday night. And a great show that is. You also can catch Scotty with Sioux Eagles hockey throughout the season once they get going again, and we'll have those games on ESPN 1400 coming up here in the not-too-distant future, we hope. So we thank Scotty Nason for joining us here on Coach's Corner. A reminder, Coach's Corner returns next Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. till noon. Also, another reminder, you can now hear Coach's Corner in podcast form, and we thank Scotty for helping us with that as well. And you can go to thegamesportsshow.com.podbeam.com, and you can hear Coach's Corner there. Just click and scroll down, and you'll find the logo for Coach's Corner, and you will be able to listen to the show. If you happen to miss it, we'll have it in podcast form here, and today's show will be on here in the not-too-distant future. Also, remind folks on Facebook, on our WSOO Facebook page, that the show is ready to go on Podbeam once we get it going there. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation of 1230 WSOO. We will return next Saturday, as always, 11:05 a.m. till noon here on Radio Sioux. For Scotty Nason, we thank him again for joining us. I'm Dave Watson, your host. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.